This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. And the topic of today's show is the hidden meaning behind adrenal fatigue. And it's actually a suggestion from a listener who emailed me and asked me if I could not only share my medical intuitive perspective around adrenal fatigue, but could I explain really what it is and a way that she can, and hopefully all of you as listeners can see it as being really related to stress and the importance of managing stress. So I'm going to be covering that topic today. I'm going to be also sharing how as a medical intuitive, I see adrenal fatigue in the energy system itself, and then also some of the hidden meanings that I have found, the psychological meanings and contributors behind adrenal fatigue. That seems to be consistent in the work that I've done. So I'm going to be sharing all of that. I'm going to be taking your calls, and I want to thank my listener for sending this show suggestion, and I want to thank all of you who have been sending me show suggestions. I'm putting them on the list and checking through them as quickly as I can, but I do appreciate your support and appreciate your suggestions for the show. So I hope that not only the listener who emailed me gets a lot of information out of this that's valuable, I hope that for all of us it can be of value, because if we're suffering from adrenal fatigue, I'll be sharing some ideas and suggestions of what we can do to heal the problem itself, the issue itself, but also some of the things that we can do to prevent ourselves from experiencing adrenal fatigue. So again, thank you very much. What I'm going to also be doing is taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about adrenal fatigue, or you have a question for me about your health, or question about this crazy energy that's going on right now as we're wrapping up 2013, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That's the number for U.S. and Canada, also the same number for international callers. All you have to do, of course, is dial your international calling code 877-230-3062. I also would like to invite you to join me on my database. If you're not in there, please go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And just go to the homepage, and on the left-hand side of the homepage toward the bottom, you'll see Contact Carol. Just click on that. Enter your information, that puts you in the database, and that's going to keep you updated on all of the things that I have going on and all of the things that I have that's coming up for 2014. I've got a lot of new webinars that I do. I've got a Your Health series where I do what I'm doing right now, where I'm looking at a specific illness. And then I go into a lot more depth than, of course, I can do in my hour show, and then suggestions on how you can either heal what's going on, manage what's going on, or the way that I really, my ultimate goal in doing the work that I do is to help you be able to prevent your body from experiencing the different illnesses and disorders and syndromes that I talk about. So I've got Your Health. I'm going to be launching that again in 2014. I took a few months off on that to be able to create ebooks around the topics that I'm going to be covering. So that's a new product that I'm going to be offering. And then also I'm going to be offering some online classes around intuition, around healing on a higher level, which is the theme for 2014. And then also webinars that will feature other authors and speakers as well. So please go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then just enter the information, and then voila, you are in my database, and you'll get these emailing notifications of all the things that I have going on and any new product launches that I have. So before I jump into talking about adrenal fatigue, I think what we need to do is we need to just go and do a little bit of anatomy 101 so we can get a clear picture of what the adrenals look like and where they are. One of the things I found as a medical intuitive that is so valuable in the work that I do based on the feedback I get from the people I work with, and this includes doctors as well, is that what I do is I can offer a visual portrayal of what's going on, that psychological understanding of what's going on, and then in very simplistic terms, create this process that allows a person to really see on a different level what is going on. And once we get that insight at these different levels, then what we can do is we can decide where we want to start the process of healing. Now, when it's something, of course, like an illness or a disorder or a syndrome, then what we get is we'll first of all attack it from the standpoint of the physical, and that certainly is of great value. The only thing is that we can do that, and then it really doesn't heal. It may get better, but it really doesn't heal, meaning that we don't heal and let go or change whatever the need may be of the different underlying dynamics of what caused this to occur in the first place. So to begin with, from an anatomical standpoint, the adrenals are a pair of glands that are actually crescent shaped. They're very small. They only weigh about 5 ounces in total weight, so there's not much mass to them, and they actually rest on top of each of the kidneys. And the importance of the adrenals is that we recognize that they are tied to that fight, flight, stress response. And what they do is they actually produce the body's 4 major stress hormones, adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol, and also DHEA. And one of the things that the adrenals do is they actually release the highest level of these hormones in the morning and the lowest at night. So when we look at things such as a heart attack, and one of the things that seems to be a consistent pattern when somebody's going to experience a heart attack, it seems to happen on a Monday morning, very early in the morning, and the body goes into that state of fight, flight, freeze. It can be caused by stress, of course, but it's also can be caused by that prolonged stress to the point where the adrenals are so over-responsive in the morning that they can actually cause the heart, the rhythm of the heart, to be impacted. And then what we have is we can have find someone having a heart attack. So these 4 different hormones, while they're tied to the stress hormones themselves that keeps us in that fight flight stage, then what when freeze stage, that's the third word I wanted, is while it can be of great value in keeping us in that state so we can manage what's going on and not continue the process of putting ourselves in that stress, it can also be destructive. But the adrenal glands actually have more to them, and when they're functioning properly, they help regulate how we deal with stress. They also help how we metabolize carbohydrates, and they help in maintaining the electrolyte, that salt-water balance in the body itself. And in reality, even though stress can age us, the actual hormones tied to the adrenals themselves actually can act as a cure-all for aging. And then on top of all of that, then what they do is they help in the regulation of blood sugar. So when we look at the adrenals, it's important for us to really come in that to come and look at the adrenals beyond just this stress, even though stress is one of the number one common causes of adrenal fatigue. But adrenal fatigue, as you're going to learn as I go into more depth, has a lot to do with the energy ability of the cell's ability to deal with the energy based on carbohydrates and based on blood sugar levels. So again, it's very, very important that they function properly. When they aren't functioning properly, there are really multiple adrenal disorders that can occur. And the first and foremost indicator that we have low adrenal reserves is that what we have is that we have adrenal fatigue. Adrenal fatigue also can be associated with chronic fatigue syndrome. And when we think of the adrenals themselves, we have adrenal fatigue, we have Addison's disease, and then we have Cushing's disease. All of those are the 3 foremost expressions of adrenals that aren't functioning properly. Now, as I mentioned, adrenal fatigue is really what it's referred to as low adrenal reserve. And what that means is that the adrenal glands are not being able to produce the amount of hormone that is needed to match the situation that a person is in. So the primary cause of adrenal fatigue is stress, because it increases the production of these hormones. And when the adrenals aren't able to produce those hormones in the way that they're needed to match the situation and the degree of stress, then what they do is they actually go in and start using some of the reserves that we have in the body. And then what that does is those reserves in the adrenals themselves and in the body become low in hormones itself. And then now we've got a double whammy from the standpoint that the adrenals aren't producing what is needed. They're using up their reserves, and that's why it's called low adrenal reserve. Now, one of the things that is, if we don't go in and deal with this fatigue and take it beyond just stress and beyond just saying to ourselves that I'm stressed, if you are stressed and you're in a chronic stress situation and you experience some of the symptoms that I'm going to be sharing with you, and those symptoms don't get better when you get more rest or when you step back from the stressful situation or when you change your diet and eat right, then I encourage people to go in and to work with an endocrinologist and to see if, in fact, you are suffering from low adrenal reserve or adrenal fatigue. So what happens is if it isn't dealt with and it isn't caught in the testing, then what it can do is it can actually lead to Addison's disease. That seems to be one of the primary connections. There is some genetic connection with Addison's disease, and then even more so with Cushing's disease. But again, all of these things are around the adrenals not functioning properly. Now, if they go into the reserves and they're not able to really come in and really function the way they need to, then what we can find is that we find not only do we have the fatigue associated with this low adrenal functioning, but what we can do is we can actually experience total collapse of the adrenal functioning itself, and now we enter into the world of Addison's disease. Some of the symptoms that are associated with adrenal fatigue are feeling drained, weakness, tiredness, being lethargic, reoccurrent infections, dizziness, low blood pressure when first standing, brittle nails, extremely dry skin, headaches, memory problems, nausea, depression, irritability, moodiness, food cravings, allergies, blood sugar disorders, a weakened immune system functioning, thyroid problems, poor circulation, interference with normal sleep patterns, not necessarily insomnia, but some of the symptomology of insomnia. And then first and foremost is our inability to cope with stress, both physically and emotionally, because remember that we can't really separate the physical from the emotional. They really imprint and imitate each other. Adrenal fatigue, as I mentioned, is also associated with chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, again, as we go in and look at the adrenals itself, and if they become seriously underactive, then we get this rare condition that's called Addison's disease. Now, my intention is not to frighten anyone who is experiencing these different symptoms. And I always say, as a medical intuitive, step back, look at your life, look at what is going on. And, you know, if your cup runneth over from a lot of stress, from a lot of different areas, and those areas are all charged with a lot of emotion that's associated with it, emotions are very draining. So the first and foremost thing that I do to really kind of evaluate where we are is look at what's going on in our life and look at the emotional distress that we are experiencing on top of the stress. And then go in and ask ourselves, in the case of depression, do we have a genetic predisposition to depression? Do we seem to have cycles of depression? And are you in that cycle? But again, as you ask this question and you make the changes and it doesn't get any better, then it's time for you to go and to work with someone, preferably an endocrinologist, and have the test run in order to make sure that the adrenals are functioning the way that they're designed. Maybe they are in that low adrenal reserve state, but they're still functioning, and then you can check that off your list. Besides stress, some of the causes for adrenal fatigue are diets that are high in refined carbohydrates, such as sugar and white flour, as these carbohydrates actually deplete many of the nutrients in the body that's required for the adrenals to function properly. And a diet that's high in refined carbohydrates such as sugar and white flour really deplete the body of the B vitamins. And B vitamins are very important to the functioning and to the functioning not only of the adrenals themselves, but very important to the functioning of the central nervous system and also the way that the liver functions, the thyroid functions, and where we are in our ability to be cognitively acute, meaning being alert, being open, not having that fuzziness and memory and so forth. So again, it does come down to diet. But if you find that you have this pattern of, again, this fatigue or this tiredness, and you try some different things, then what I encourage you to do is look at taking vitamin B12 specifically. A B complex is very, very valuable because it has all the B vitamins within it. But it may very well be that in order to get you to this place, if you work with a physician, they'll put you on a regimen where you have B12 shots on a monthly basis. And then what you'll do is you'll start to find yourself feeling better. Some of the other causes that can impact the adrenals and their functionality is exposure to chemicals such as chlorine, carbonates, dioxin, which is different types of poison, fire ant poison specifically, pesticides, herbicides, and even fungicides. And then there's other chemicals that we kind of get involved in on a daily basis if we're not really careful. With this, and if you smoke, please stop smoking because the chemicals in tobacco also can create adrenal fatigue. Excess alcohol use can. The use of recreational and street drugs, heavy metals, and the excessive use of corticosteroid therapy for things such as arthritis, asthma, and even allergies. In fact, the long-term use of this cortisone or corticosteroid drug regimen is that it can actually not only impact the functioning of the adrenals themselves, it can cause the adrenals to shrink. So if you do these different things where you change your diet and you get more rest and you enter into managing the stress process itself and you find that you just can't seem to shake what's going on, then as you heard me mention, I encourage you to see an endocrinologist. Now, it may be that you have to see your doctor before you get to the endocrinologist, but go to an endocrinologist, and what they're going to do is they're going to run something called an ACTH test. And what this test basically does, while looking at all of the endocrine glands, when it comes to the adrenals, it actually measures the functionality of the adrenals itself, and it can be used as a very effective baseline to see where that functionality is. Is it functioning the way that it's designed? Are you entering into that low adrenal reserve state? Is it to a place where the adrenals aren't functioning the way they need? And then as a result, you're really pulling from the reserves, not only in the adrenals, but in the body itself. And then you'll be able to work with a endocrinologist on this. So what I'm going to do is continue to talk about it, but I wanted to really just look at it from an anatomy and physiology standpoint to give you a clear picture of what you might be dealing with in your body. And again, my intention is not to say to you, oh my gosh, if you've got these things, you've got adrenal fatigue, but it's to be aware of the fact that when you do the things that can eliminate the fatigue and yet the fatigue continues to linger and the depression continues to become more pronounced, then maybe it's time that you work with someone else in order to be able to really give the body what it needs. And again, working with an endocrinologist is one of the best places to stay and to start. And then once you get that baseline, then you can go and you can work with naturopaths. You can work with homeopathy. You can work with nutritionists. You can work with a lot of wonderful holistic practitioners, meaning they look at things from a holistic standpoint, and then you can work with them to do it. But until you have that baseline, it's very difficult sometimes for us to be able to put our fingers on things. So what I want to do now is I do have a couple of callers, so I would like to go in, and what I'd like to do is let's take Rachel from Ontario, Canada. Hi, Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Carol. Can you hear me?
Well, hi. I can. Hi, honey. So you called me a few weeks ago, huh? And
yes,
we got dropped.
Yes, the call dropped, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a head injury, and I've been off work now for coming on 3 months.
Wow.
And I wanted to find out from you if there's any reason I should have an MRI or a CAT scan at this point, or if you see anything I could do for it, and what is the gift in this?
Yeah. And I know who you are, my love, and I understand why you asked that question, because you spent a lot of time with me, and I keep saying to you, there's got to be a pony in this pile or a lesson in this and everything. So the thing is with the head injury itself, when you first got it, did they actually diagnose you with a concussion?
Yes.
Okay. And so what they're wanting to do with the MRI and the CAT scan, they're really wanting to go in and be sure that as a result of this concussion, we don't have any narrowing in the blood vessels itself in the brain. We don't have any aneurysms that are a potential. We don't have any kind of a clot, or we don't have any kind of a residual cyst that sometimes can form. So what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to go in and really check it out and be sure that there's not anything hidden that has resulted as a result of the hit on the head and the concussion. And so it's really a preventative measure, my sense is, Rachel, instead of it being a true concern. And now that can be a good news, bad news for you. If it's not really a true concern as I'm picking it up, then naturally we'd question, do I really need to go through this? But again, if it's something that you're not feeling yourself, which you feel like you have, I would call them like episodes where you feel like you're one moment that you're engaged, you're intact, and the next moment you feel like you're a little bit distant from the situation. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mainly headaches, but it's been, just sort of perception and memory and dizziness and stuff.
Yeah.
And insomnia.
Exactly. Well, and the insomnia is a direct result of, now I know from working with you that, you know, you can be really kind of high strung, and I say that with love, which is what I love about you, but you're very conscientious. But what it is with the insomnia, what they want to do with the CAT scan, the MRI, is they really want to go in and make sure that the area of the brain that is tied to the sleep cycle itself has not been traumatized in any way. So having said that, I would encourage you to go ahead and go through that process for a couple of reasons. One is it's going to give the doctors that relief they're looking for, and sweetie, it's going to give you the relief you're looking for. The headaches themselves actually aren't tied to the injury per se, but what the injury did is it's changed the muscles and how the jaw itself moves, and it's putting pressure on the cranial nerves, the number 10 nerve, the vagus nerve, which is also tied to the stomach area, tied to the adrenals. That can be part of the insomnia, and then can be tied to some of the nausea, and it is definitely tied to the headaches. So for that particular standpoint, what the scans would do is to show that, no, we really don't have a problem. But then what you could do is you could start looking at something for craniosacral therapy, which, if I remember correctly, I think you've done this before and are well-versed in it yourself.
Yeah,
and you
I
can
have
do something.
A few times, yeah.
Good. Did it help you at all?
I didn't notice that it did. So
okay.
I financially, I think I was trying so many things I couldn't keep up with it all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing I love about you, is, you know, we're just going to throw everything at it. That's good.
exactly.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Yeah. So when you have a headache, there's a couple things that I just picked up, is that underneath your nose, between the bottom of the nose and the upper lip, there's like a little saddle, like a little indentation. Whenever you get the feeling of dizziness, I'm going to start there. What I'm going to ask you to do is to take pointing finger next to your thumb and actually just put a very slight pressure on that area. That area is energetically and neurologically tied to the vagus nerve number 10, and that, my sense is, would help that the process that you're going through and to get the headache, the dizziness. What it is it gets dizzy and then it gets a headache. So if we can stop it at the dizziness, that would help. EFT would help. Emotional freedom technique would help. Tapping would help on that particular area on each side of your temples. You know, you do it with both hands, alternate in the tapping. Do it in the center of the forehead, between the brow itself. Tap the thymus gland at the chest area itself, just above the heart, and I would actually tap where the adrenals are, and then I would tap on the web of your hand between your thumb and your pointing finger. All of those areas are where I can feel that there's energetic, almost like a sporadicness in the impulses on the way that the nerves are talking to the brain. So that could help you as well.
Okay, marvelous.
But I would go ahead and have the scans done. And it feels like, do they want to do the CAT scan first, or are they going to do one or the other?
I think it's going to be one or the other, and I asked for the MRI just to avoid the radiation.
Okay. Well, that's the MRI. That will give you a completely different imaging process that's very, very effective for all the things that you're going to be looking for, they're going to be looking for. But my sense is what they're going to find is, yep, you've got a brain and nothing's really wrong with it, but you have enough other symptoms based on the fall and hitting your head that they want to check it off the list, and it would be good for you to be able to check it off the list, and that'll get rid of some of the fear that you're experiencing around it or anxiety as well.
Okay.
So your stomach just talked to me. Isn't that the strangest thing?
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. Are you hungry?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. It's like, okay, so stomach goes, hey, Carol. It's like, yeah. It's like, would you tell Rachel I'm hungry? It's like, okay. Do you forget to eat, honey?
I had a late, I had insomnia, so I had a very late breakfast, and I thought, well, it's past lunchtime here, but since I had a late breakfast, maybe hold off.
Yeah, and I'd feed it a little bit of something. It still feels hungry.
Okay.
Yeah. Ask the doctor about the insomnia with your hormones, sweetie.
Okay.
I mean, I understand the connection that they may think that it's tied to the head injury itself, but the boy, that really feels like it's tied more to hormones.
Specifically adrenal or thyroid?
It feels thyroid, and it feels estrogen.
Okay. Like an over.
Yep.
What do you call it?
Overabundance of both?
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
Oh, wait, overabundance of thyroid too?
Yeah, well, actually, it feels low thyroid, overabundance of estrogen, which causes the thyroid to kind of kick it in the behind and to kind of overstimulate it, but it is a low I know that you have low thyroid functioning, but I think the estrogen is impacting the thyroid functioning. It feels very hormonal to me, sweetie, and not as a result of the injury itself.
Right.
So if you can talk to the doctor or a doctor about that as well, see if that's the case.
Okay.
All right. Good talking to you. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, just I'm wondering on a spiritual level, what is this?
Why would I miss that? Golly, with all the work that you've done, I guess your body was just being really dominant in this whole thing. The spiritual opportunity within this is that really, in many ways, Rachel, you've had so much work that you've been doing on a spiritual level, so much that you've been going through on a physical level. It's almost as if you just needed to take a reprieve from all of this and get out of that stress that you've been under, to be able to go back and to reevaluate the things that are important to you, to connect with yourself spiritually, to connect with your intuition. One of the things that you've been doing in trying to figure all this out is throwing a lot of things at it, which is what we do. But now that you've thrown a lot of things at it, why don't you go back and why don't you use your medical intuitive skills, because we know you have them, and then ask your body or ask your soul what you need to nurture that soul part of who you are and to step into doing that. You feel like you've walked away from a lot of the intuitive gifts you have in the last 5 or 6 months. Is that true, sweetie?
I've been feeling kind of disconnect with my intuition. And I was thinking maybe it's because of the brain injury. If the intuition's in the third eye area, I was thinking maybe
right.
It got affected. Because, yeah, I feel like it's very low, the intuition level.
Right, right. Well, and it isn't. But I think that it is because of the fact that you're dealing with all of this physically, which is the obvious logical way to do it. And throwing all the things at it and is another thing that we all do as humans. But it feels to me like if I could pull you back into that spiritual part, into that intuition part, and you know, if you feel like you ask questions and they're not being answered, just keep asking questions. But ask yourself what in your spiritual nature is also hungry. And what are you being asked to do? You have some time that you've been given in order to do this reconnect, and I would encourage you to go back and reconnect.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm just having trouble kind of hearing it, you know, when I ask the question.
Yeah, well, and it may very well be, sweetie, that part of your development in the intuition is maybe you won't hear it. But maybe you will feel it. Maybe if you ask your soul, you know, to go in and to, you know, what's going on in that third eye. And instead of it saying to you, oh, well, it's got a boo-boo on it because you hit it. Instead of that, just going in and starting to use the subtleties of that third eye to notice that there are moments that you're feeling better or that you are noticing things that are different, and you have a need to step back from all of those things and do something different. All of that's intuition.
Okay.
And it may be that what you're being asked to do is you're being asked to move beyond the auditory, clairvoyant, clairaudient aspect of your intuition, and you have an opportunity to really connect at that kinesthetic level, that that level that reads kinesiology. Maybe it's a new opportunity for you to read the electrical pulses of the body in kinesiology to be able to look at how to restore balance back into it. It's asking you to develop, to become acquainted with and develop another part of your intuition.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have the opportunity to do that, which is unfortunate the way that you got it. But you know what? There's blessings in all of that from the standpoint that you do have the time to heal, be connected with your body again, be connected at a soul level. And the soul is very, very active.
Wonderful. Okay.
So, okay, very good, sweetie. Well, thank you, and good to hear your voice, and happy holidays to you. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back. I've got another caller on the line. I'm going to be taking more calls, talking some more about the hidden contributors I find as a medical intuitive about adrenal fatigue, and sharing some ideas on what you can do to be able to help prevent adrenal fatigue or to deal with it if you are actually experiencing it. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.riterger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. And if you're just joining me on the show, the today's topic is on adrenal fatigue. And it's actually a suggestion from a listener who wanted to know about it and what she can do to heal herself. So that's what the topic's been. I've really done more of the anatomy and physiology aspect of the adrenal fatigue. And what I'm going to do in this segment is I'm going to be sharing some of the psychological contributors and then also some suggestions of what you can do to prevent adrenal fatigue, and then to be able to heal adrenal fatigue if you find yourself dealing with it. So if you have a call for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for international callers, and then also U.S. callers, Canadian callers as well. I also wanted to invite you to just go check out my website. Lots of new things that I've put on there in the last few months of 2013. I have a download of an animal companion webinar that I did with world-renowned medium psychic medium and animal communicator Danielle McKinnon. I've got some wonderful webinar on clearing the past, creating the future with Susan Weissman, a wonderful soul who does really very, very spiritual, deep therapy work. I also have managing surefire ways to manage weight loss with Dr. Susan Smith Jones. She's been a guest on my show. So a lot of wonderful information that is available on my site, as well as products, my Soulful Connection bracelets. And I'm going to be launching some new jewelry products in 2014. So again, get into that database. And so lots going on. Just go and browse my website and look at the different things that are being offered. And then also, if there's something that you like, you can purchase everything online. So as a medical intuitive, when I go in and I really look at adrenal fatigue from the standpoint of looking for the hidden contributors, I find that adrenal fatigue is really the result of emotional and spiritual burnout. And it really, if it's emotional burnout, we get adrenal fatigue. If it's spiritual burnout, we get adrenal fatigue. If it's an emotional, spiritual burnout, then what we get is we really get all of the symptoms that are associated with adrenal fatigue. And what I find is that in this burnout that I'm experiencing is when I'm working with someone, is it occurs when the person's focus is more on meeting the demands of life and fulfilling those responsibility and obligations rather than taking the time that's needed, even if it's for just a few minutes on a daily basis, the time that's needed to nurture that emotional aspect of who we are and to nurture that spiritual, soulful aspect of who we are. Interestingly enough, to nurture the emotions and to nurture the spiritual nature of who we are requires the same thing. It requires quietness, and it loves and thrives and replenishes a reservoir when we do things that are creative. That creativity changes the chemistry of the body, the blood flow. It changes the hormones itself, and it feeds the heart of who we are and what's going on. Adrenal fatigue tends to be a mental fatigue primarily. And when we are so mentally fatigued that we go into the reserves of our spiritual nature and our emotional nature, then I actually find that people have a higher predisposition for adrenal fatigue. There's a lack of balance in life, so a person isn't taking the time to basically recharge their batteries. Adrenal fatigue indicates a person is running on empty and using up their reserves. Their life force is being drained, leaving them feeling spiritually depleted. Fears and insecurities are driving their behavior, causing them to be over anxious and stressed to the point where they no longer even think about, nor maybe possibly not able to care for themselves and for their needs. They feel alone and feel unsupported, and they feel like they have to do everything themselves. And the result of that in the adrenal fatigue is they're tired of carrying the load themselves. I find that people who are in really deeply entrenched in the adrenal fatigue syndrome itself are really in that survival mode, and they're afraid that if they let up in either working or making money or doing what they're doing and let up on the pace that is driving them to do and work the way that they are, that something bad is going to happen. Energetically, I find adrenal fatigue is the tension between the third chakra, where the adrenals are actually located, and the sixth chakra, which is where the pituitary gland is located. And the pituitary gland is the master gland of the endocrine system itself. And any time that adrenal gland gets the message of fear, or feels a strong negative emotion, because it does respond emotionally, the first thing that it does is it kicks the thyroid into high gear, and that kicks the adrenals into high gear. So that sixth chakra pituitary gland really can be a problem from the standpoint of being able to help us manage and maintain the levels of hormones that are needed, and specifically the adrenal hormone itself. What I find energetically is that in adrenal fatigue is that there's a struggle between that third chakra and sixth chakra, because somebody thinks they should do something when their intuition and their instincts are actually telling them to do something different, or even telling them not to do something. I find that they're energetically at odds with themselves and not allowing themselves the time that's needed to connect with their higher self so they can find the answers, the options, and make the choices that feed the needs mentally, emotionally, spiritually, meaning energetically, and of the soul itself. They're feeling emotionally overwhelmed. That's the sixth chakra pituitary gland. They're being reactionary. That's the adrenals, third chakra. And what this does is the combination of these two chakras being at odds with each other is it undermines the person's self-confidence and their personal power that's associated with the third chakra. And then they find themselves at where they can't not only function the way they need, they can't think clearly, but they have a hard time trusting themselves. So again, interesting with the information, but when you're looking at it, you can look at it, of course, from the physical standpoint, but then what you can also do is you can look at it from the energetic standpoint, and doing energy balancing. Reiki is a wonderful therapy and modality to be able to work with adrenal fatigue. You can actually go in and create an energetic balance between that third and sixth chakra, and you can actually find that fulcrum of the tension between those two chakras in the fifth chakra. And you can create a harmonic balance in that fifth chakra, the thyroid, and then lo and behold, the adrenals, third chakra, stop overreacting, and the sixth chakra of the pituitary gland stops reacting overtly in that emotional state, and then the adrenals calm themselves down and the person is able to take care of themselves. Some of the things that you can do from a physical standpoint, of course, in managing the adrenal fatigue is to manage the stress in your life. An effective way to do this is to look at putting balance in your life between work and getting play. Get enough rest, at least 7 hours of sleep at night. You can also use meditation, what a Freudian slip that was, because adrenal fatigue, they want to put you on medication, but use it from a mindful standpoint in meditation. Also, yoga is very effective. Guided imagery is very effective, as is hypnotherapy. The next thing to do is to evaluate your diet itself and to change any foods that are necessary so you can start eliminating those refined carbohydrates, sodas, and alcohol, and instead eat plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables, in particular leafy green vegetables. Consume brown rice, beans, nuts, olives, and safflower oils are very, very good for the adrenals, and then also whole grains as long as you don't have grain allergies. Eat deep water ocean fish such as salmon or tuna. Now, salmon you can eat up to 3 times a week, and then with tuna, though, we want to limit it to just once a week. Put sea greens into your diet as they're adrenal-enhancing foods. Add potassium-rich foods to your diet. These include potatoes, seafood, and avocados. Also, look at increasing the B vitamins. You can do that by taking B vitamin supplements. B12 is very effective, and you can also talk to a physician or even a naturopath on how to increase the B12 in your body. Also, include in your diet garlic, onions, and shiitake mushrooms. Avoid alcohol, stop smoking, and reduce the amount of caffeinated coffee you drink on a daily basis. And when I say that, what I'm really talking about is that coffee, if you drink caffeinated coffee, you know, limit it to 1 or 2 cups. You can push it with 3, but let's stay away from 4, 5, and 6 cups, because the caffeine really causes the adrenals to stay in that stimulated state, which then can cause a lot of other ramifications, such as too much caffeine can also create bone loss. It affects the calcium itself. So some things to think about. Also, get regular or moderate exercise. And that what that really means is just 3 hours a week. And the reason for that is that the exercise, and it can be walking, it can be brisk walking, it can be aerobics, if you're inclined to do that. But what it does is exercise actually stimulates the adrenals to produce hormones that maybe are depleted, but what it really does is it helps manage the overload that occurs from stress, and it allows the adrenals to function in just short bursts with exercise versus staying in that chronic state of fatigue itself. And then if you're under a lot of stress, then I always encourage get a weekly massage. Work with someone that can help remove the stress toxin in the body. And then also I found in the research in one of the books working with a physician that actually looks at adrenal fatigue, suggests that you make a fresh mix daily of flaxseed bran, miso broth, and honey, and take just a couple of tablespoons of this in the morning, only in the morning, because remember that that's when the adrenals are at their high functioning. So it's like what you're doing is you're giving them breakfast, you're giving them the support that they need. Again, you have to be sure that you're not allergic to bran, but giving the adrenals their breakfast boost, and that way it'll help you deal with stress more effectively during the day, and then it will also help prevent them from becoming burned out and depleted throughout the day due to stress. So those are some of the ideas that you can do. So, you know, we have to feed ourselves spiritually and from a soul standpoint. Get the mind away from fixating on the things that are going on, managing stress, eating the way that we need, and putting some creativity in your life on a daily basis. That is so important to the overall well-being of the body, and it's very important when you're dealing with adrenal fatigue and you're dealing with a lot of the symptomology of burnout itself. All right, so let's go ahead. I want to jump in and take a couple caller. Hi, Kim from Vermont. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Ooh. Hi, Carol.
Well, hi, honey. So what's going on?
I got hurt at work last week.
Okay.
And I've had some persistent numbness and tingling. I had an MRI on Monday night, and I've heard two different things about what the MRI said.
Okay, so what did they say?
So the first person, I guess what they were looking to make sure is I didn't herniate a disc. And so the first person who called said, oh, you don't, good news, you don't have any herniations. At PT yesterday, the PT said that this provider had called her and said that they had a spine surgeon look at the MRI and said that I have an annular tear, C5, C6, that's leaking, but it didn't tell me whether or not it's actually bulge or just a little tear. So I don't know any of that stuff. And based on my symptoms, they don't feel it correlates with what my complaint is, which based on what I know from what I do, I agree with it, but it just seems like there's a lot of mixed messages going on, and it's really easily irritated.
Right, right. So I'm going to go in, and there is not a herniated disc.
Okay. There
is a tear.
Okay.
And that there was a slight bulge because of the way that the vertebrae, the muscles yanked the vertebrae as a result of the injury.
Okay.
And so I'm going to give you a visual. When we go in and we look at the two vertebrae that are involved and we look at that little pancake cushion in it, if you go to T5, that's one of the ones they identified, correct?
No, they haven't. They only looked at the cervical spine.
Really? Okay. Well, that may be why we're having all these mixed messages. Okay. And I understand why they're looking there because it's numbness in the arms. But the way that you felt like you were jarred in this, honey, is I can go between T5 and T6, and that's the fulcrum. That's that pivot point in the spine. And the way that you were yanked muscularly, it took those two vertebrae and the muscles caused them to twist opposite of each other. So if you could visualize on the right side in that twist, that little pancake disc getting a little kind of a friction burn, little friction tear there, then what it does is in that process, it went up and it locked up your muscles in your neck around those cervical vertebrae, causing them to feel compressed, but they're not herniated.
Okay.
That is putting pressure specifically on the brachial plexus of the vertebrae, the spine itself, which are the peripheral nerves that are going into that hand that is causing it to have the injury itself, or to have that numbness.
Right.
But the real thing that's going on, and it's not life-threatening, it's not going to be long-term, is that if you can go down and you can visualize down, and T5 and 6 are just in the general area, just above the shoulder blade itself, slightly above it. And you can just go in and send healing energy, encapsulate it in teal and, a real beautiful pink fuchsia, and see it healing there. If you were to go in and use warm on your neck, it's going to help heal that part. It's more like there's an abrasion that has happened. And what it's also doing is it went up to the neck itself, but it's also, I can pick up a little bit of muscle tension in the lower back because everything's trying to protect what happened in the center.
Okay.
And it's gonna heal. This isn't long term.
Okay.
And as it heals in that third chakra area around the personal power and around, that intuitive aspect of who you are and following your instincts, a lot of things, because you've been doing a lot of clearing work. When you're doing that, then what's going to happen is it's going to repair itself, heal more quickly, and then you're going to find the muscles relax, and then you're going to get the movement in your hands.
Okay.
In your hand.
So the numbness and weakness in my hand, that's the thing that concerns me the most because it feels numb and weak.
Right. Well, it will get better.
Okay.
It will get better. This is not permanent. It's a trauma.
Right.
It's a trauma that occurred, but there is no herniated disc above. There is no herniated disc, and I cannot find a bulge at this time, but I can find this slight little abrasion, maybe like a little tear if you were to just nick the end of your finger with a knife, just very so slightly, and that's what we're looking at healing.
Okay. All right.
So at warmth on your neck will help the muscles from staying fixated, and then that will help bring back some of the activity in the nervous system itself.
Okay. So like everything else, my next question is, I mean, obviously, what's the underlying message to this?
Well, the one thing is that I think, I've got 30 seconds here, sweetie, so I'm going to make it really, I'm going to make it really quick. The most important thing is to look around, trust your intuition, and to not put yourself in positions that could cause you to get off balance.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was a heck of a way to stop the show. That's a great way to stop the show. Thank you, Kim, for doing that. I want to thank all of you for joining me. I hope this information's been of value, and I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Light and love, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.rideberger.com. See you soon.